Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Monday, April 18th, 2022, and this is episode 248 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad, and we're coming to you live on Facebook. At least I think we are. It says we are, so I believe it. Here with Eric Nathanson, man. How you doing?
Doing well. Enjoying watching this Giants baseball so far. Baseball is not only back, we get to watch winning baseball. I'm all geeked right now. Giants are 7-2. It's just so much fun to watch night after night. It feels just like last year. So I'm really pumped. I'm so excited. I missed the season preview show, so I'm so excited to be talking Giants baseball again.
Yeah, and joining us again, of course, the OG, Willie. How you feeling about the first nine games? I mean, can it go any better?
It could have gone better. If you had not gone to the press box, we would be 8-1. Right now. Nope. But you just had to go cover a game on a Monday. The Giants are killing it right now. And like Eric said, it feels very last year. This is like we never skipped a beat.
Yeah.
Logan Webb didn't skip a beat. The rest of the Giants didn't skip a beat. I guess the only guy who maybe skipped a beat, Brandon Crawford, but then he had a home run the other day, so you know he seems maybe he's a little back in the saddle. It's just everything is working as intended, and all the moves that have been made in the offseason, Rodon looks incredible, Peterson better than expected. It's all going well right now, so cannot complain. It's just excited every day, and I expect a win every day. When I tune into the Giants right now, I expect them to win. I don't even care who they're playing. The Mets, Scherzer, whatever, dude. We're going to win.
I mean, yeah, the Mets are hot, too, so this is going to be a fun test. You know,
oh, because, my God, there's four games against the Mets, and we're going to get Logan Webb versus,
Scherzer. Yeah, tomorrow night. I'm already
come
excited
on.
About tomorrow
night. Dude, I'm about to call in sick to work tomorrow to watch this game.
It's going to be a doozy.
Yeah, this morning I saw that. I was like, woo, oh, all right, cool. Tomorrow it is.
Nah, but you know, I think what you said is correct, Willie. I mean, even with this rotation, which it already is better than expected, we thought it was going to be good. And granted, it's only, you know, whatever, nine games into the season. But any of these pitchers can win a game on any night. They don't seem to have a weak link. And there's going to be injuries. There's going to be times when Webb and Rodon and Disco and Cobb and those guys go down, we get it, but they got serviceable backups. But right now, I mean, their pitching is clearly dominant. They're at the tops of, you know, Major League Baseball in terms of all those statistics. Their hitting could be a little bit better. We'll dive into that in a second. But I mean, right now, they've won seven of their first nine games. The other two losses weren't by a lot. They're on a five-game winning streak. They just swept the Guardians at the beginning of this 11-game roadie, which, by the way, that's a hell of a roadie to open up their road trip. But, you know, where does that put them? Puts them tied for the best record in baseball with who else? I mean, come on. It's got to be the freaking bums, right? I mean, they started out 1-2. You kind of had that little like, hey, you know, maybe they're going to stumble out of the... Oh, no, never mind. They just won six in a row.
No, they're just going to win every game after that.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like...
Both teams keeping pace with each other again. It's ridiculous how it's the same thing all over again already.
I know, right away. It's like already the two are right at the top of the heap. So I know. And then MLB, you know, releases their power rankings again. You know, the Dodgers at the top and the Giants are like number seven. And they got teams that are 500 above them. And you're just kind of like, eh, whatever. You know, it's April. And just continue those biases. I love it. East Coast bias. We'll take it. You know, I'd rather have the underdog mentality. I don't want the Giants ranked number two or three right now. It's, you know, hide in the weeds. But you know what? Who doesn't give a shit? Giants. Gabe Kapler.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. You know, some fans get a little bent out of shape. Don't really matter. But Giants opened up the season taking 2-3 from the Marlins at home. then back that up. Losing the first game against San Diego, yes, of course, that was my taint. I get it. that was my fault. And then won the next two, and then, of course, swept the Guardians on their current roadie. So they've already outscored their opponents by
the red-hot hitting Guardians.
Oh, my God.
Yes, they were averaging seven runs a game.
500 hitters right now. Yeah. What the – they were like, oh, this guy's hot. Oh, and this guy's also hot. Oh, also this guy. And this guy and this guy. And you're like, I don't know – who are these guys? I don't know who any of these guys were.
Yeah.
But they're all apparently like incredible home run hitters that also like have perfect situational at bats. And then the Giants pitching just shut their ass down. So that was great.
Yeah.
Four runs, three games. Stephen Kwan and Owen Miller were those guys who were like, oh my God, these guys are red hot. And then
this guy never swings and misses. Well, he swung and missed a few times in this series.
Yes, he did. Yeah, Kwan was hot.
Had one good game, but there was nothing around it for him in support. Yeah. So the Guardians are a bad team. That was just. I'm so glad the Giants swept that series.
Yeah, no, that was a series you expected 2 out of 3, but a sweep was just, you know, put the icing on the cake. And already the Giants have outscored their opponents by 23 runs over 9 games. I mean, Jesus, that's amazing. They're going to be at a 100 run differential in like, you know, 30 games at this rate, which is kind of insane. The early rankings, their ERA is number 1 in the majors at 2.2. Their WHIP's number 3 at 107. Their starter ERA is number 3 at 2.22. Their relief is at 2.16. So both sides of the relief category there, they're doing really well on. And so pitching is clearly carrying this team right now. And it's not that they haven't had timely hits, but overall they're hitting kind of like before, aside from the pinch hitting and leading, you know, the National League in home runs and all that. Average, 236, 14th in the league. OPS is 10th at 718. And then their average with runners in scoring position, something we've always harped on, 22nd in the majors at 219. Again, early, they could be hitting 400 next week. It doesn't matter. But despite all that, they're 7-2, so that's why it doesn't matter.
They make up for it in home runs. The Giants are starting to hit home runs again like they did last year. I mean, they're out homering their opponents by some crazy statistic, like 14-3 or something right now. So that's getting it done. It got it done in, what was that, the Friday night game against the Guardians when Bart hit that 2-run bomb to just add on. Situationally, you know, I might not show up in some of the box scores for them, but it was such a huge, huge moment to put that game away. Again, just like last year, they're starting to just mash the ball in the right spots. And you have days like Tyro Estrada had yesterday, and you're going to knock runs in and win games.
You know what's funny about the Estrada game yesterday? Watching him take his at-bats, I just had a feeling. Like that, the home run he hit, I was watching that at-bat, and I was like, oh, he's taking this guy deep. Like, he just looked so comfortable in the box, and it looked like they – And you know, like last year, it's the game plan, man. It's like they're going up there and they're being told, hey, look for this pitch in this count. It's going to happen. And then the swings are all so solid. No one is ever taking a bad hack on this team. Like even when they like swing and miss or, you know, foul one off or whatever, they're always swinging the bat hard. It's never like, oh, we're just trying to put some wood on the ball. It's no, we're trying to drive the ball every single time. And that's why you're seeing, like, when they hit home runs, they're loud, you know. And by the way, I was looking at some stats. Apparently, almost all of their home runs this year have come on off-speed pitches, too.
Yeah.
So they're predicting these pitches and these counts.
Yeah, including a couple of fastballs from Will Myers at 50-something. That was hilarious.
Well, yeah. I mean,
fastball.
Yeah,
those were fastball. Fun. Those were little fun home runs, you know, just little those extra were. Add-ons. Yeah.
No.
Those were bonus home runs, we'll call them. But, yeah, no, the approach at the plate has just been fantastic. And I think this is also what the Giants have figured out. It's like we just have the smartest nerds in baseball. Right, like our nerds are better than your nerds is what's going on right now. And Kapler is like the cool like guy who gets laid, but is friends with all the nerds. Right, like he's playing like D&D. he's like the last scene from Freaks and Geeks where James Franco is playing D&D with all the geeks.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's Gabe Kapler. He's like, I'll beat up that guy for you. Don't worry. But he's just all in. He's like, look, you're smarter than me. You tell me what to do, and I'm just going to do it. All right. I trust you. And he's going along with the entire game plan, including things like adding on when you're already up 10 to nothing. You know what I mean? Like, it's all of it. Everything is working. It's so insane, and I'm loving every second of it. As a baseball fan, I'm like, dude, put this right into my veins, all of it.
Yeah, so I obviously had that in the notes for a little bit later, but let's go ahead and talk about it right now. Of course, this is against the Padres when they eventually won that game, whatever, 13-1 or whatever the score was. And they were up by a ton, excuse me, and you had a bunt by Dubon and a stolen base by Duggar. Now, for the old school baseball guys, and I consider myself old school, but I admit my appreciation of this has changed over the last 5 years.
Sure.
The unwritten rules have always stated, if you're up by a lot, you don't run up the score. You show a little respect to the other team going, hey, they're having a bad day. We're not going to steal any bases. We're not going to bunt. We're not going to do stuff like that, right? We're not going to be throwing 3-0 or 3-1 curveballs. We're not, you know, stuff like that. But no, Giants are like, those days are over. There are no unwritten rules, and we're not going to apologize for any of it because it's all about analytics. It's all about keeping ahead. It's all about not losing focus, not losing steam, having the same game plan no matter what the score is, basically. And so that's the way they're going to play their game. They're going to maximize runs at any time in any game. And Gabe Kapler, of course, did not apologize for this afterwards and, in fact, doubled down on it and said, yeah, I know what the unwritten rules are, and we don't care about them. This is what we're going to do. And if you have a problem with it, just understand that we're not trying to offend you. We're not trying to rub it in. This is just the way we're going to play no matter what. And I got to respect that. I really do. And I know Bob Melvin and company got real pissed about it. But, I mean, this is new baseball, man. This is like let the boys play, right? And this is what it's all about.
I got a lot of things to say about this, so I'm going to let Eric go first because I might rant for a second.
All right, well, two quick things about the two plays in question. Duggar stole a base in the second inning. It's the second inning. The other team has seven more times at bat, so you have to do what you can to keep extending your lead.
Yeah, because I think it was, 6-0 at the time or 6-1? So, yeah, you had plenty of time left to come back. Yeah.
Let's see. Duggar steals second base. It is 9-1.
Okay,
Dubon's 8 runs. Dubon's was in the bottom of the sixth. So, again, the Padres have three more times at bat to make up the 9 runs, and it's not inconceivable in this day and age for a team to put together a string of hits and score 6-7 runs in an inning. The Giants did it earlier in the game. So, I mean, the example is right there in their face. So Padres really didn't have a leg to stand on. And I thought the most fascinating thing that Gabe said was, we are not just playing one game. We're playing a series.
Yeah.
And if I can do things to get deeper into their bullpen, I don't care what the score is in this current game. If it helps me win the next game in the series because I might have burned a pitcher by having to have them bring them in earlier because of what we're doing in game two, then I'm going to do that. And I thought that was a fascinating way to look at it. And I hadn't actually thought about it that way before he said that. Mm-hmm. And it was a real glimpse into what the Giants are doing as a whole. That's why they're going to continue to do those things. And he is not apologetic about it. I mean, I'm like you. I used to always be all about certain unwritten rules of baseball, just how it was. That's how we grew up. That's how the game was played. The game is different. It's just a different game nowadays. It's a different sport. It's a different time. There's a different approach. Next year, there's going to be different rules, banning shifts. It's just a different game.
Yeah.
And the Giants are just one of those organizations that are out in front of the changing game and doing the things that need to be done for that. So they don't have a problem with it, and I don't have a problem with them doing that either. Unwritten rules, I don't care about them anymore. You can throw them out the window at this point for all I care.
All right, Willie, you got the soapbox.
All right, so a few things. The unwritten rules still are and have always been absolute bullshit. Are we to think that now, because we're up, whatever, 9-1, whatever it was in the second inning, are the Padres supposed to stop trying? Because if that's the case, fine. If the Padres are going to go up there and just bunt every at-bat from then on out and go, okay, the game is over, we concede, let's move on to the next one. If that's the case, okay, then we will stop trying to. But that's not what they're going to do. They're going to try to come back in the game. So why the fuck are the Giants supposed to stop trying? What is that? Like, that's ridiculous. And then what's funny about these old school rules or these unwritten rules is, oh, well, you stole a base when you're up by 10. well, the next guy is going to get beaned, and that's fine. We all think that's okay. That's part of the unwritten rules, is that now we're going to try to hurt somebody. Fuck you, dude. What the I'm just trying to score a run, man. I'm not trying to hurt anybody in any careers, you know? So, and then the other thing is, you know, the Padres don't have a leg to stand on, Eric, you said. I'm sorry, but wasn't Tatis the guy who hit a fucking grand slam in a 3-0 count?
Yes, he did.
So there you go. And there was a big kerfuffle there. I think the Padres need to just shut the fuck up. So, yeah. And then last thing I'll say is this is definitely why the Giants are successful and will continue to be successful is this mentality of it's not one game. We're not playing one game right now. And, you know, forever, this always just been take it one game at a time. No, this is a 162-game season, and we got to do everything we can throughout that season to win as many games as possible. Because, look, we're trying to beat the Dodgers, dude. Like, we're trying to beat the team that's just spending all of the money, and we are not spending all of the money. So you're asking us to what? Like, take games off? No, we can't do that. We do not have that option. The Giants need to maximize every opportunity. And if that means adding on in game two of a 3-game series against the Padres, then that's what we're going to do. And, you know, no apologies. I love the fact, too, by the way, that during the game broadcast, they went and they showed Kapler talking to DeBon after the bunt in the dugout. And they're like, oh, he's giving it to him. He's telling him that he shouldn't have done that. Not at all. If you watch that interaction, you can see he goes over there. DeBon's like nodding his head the whole time. And yeah, I guess if you have no idea what's happening, it could look like Kapler is giving it to him. But at the end of that interaction, taps him on the butt and says, like, good job, you know?
Yeah.
That entire interaction was not what they made it out to be on the broadcast. He was like over there like, hell yeah, dude, do that every single time. And they said later, too, like, did you give the sign to bunt? And by the way, that's not the only time they bunted when the shift is on this year. They've bunted a bunch of times. Belt is bunting. Crawford's bunting. You got guys who are home run hitters bunting. Of course DeBon should bunt when the shift is on against
him. There's certain guys that have a green light to do it right now against the shift,
yes.
I think.
Yep.
Doobie's one of them.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, but if you got Duggar or Slater on first base, I'm putting the steal sign in every single time, man. Those guys are insanely fast, and I want to take a free base. I want to get out of the double play situation. Come on now. This is just, I mean, this to me, it's like, okay, unwritten rules, fine. That's been around forever. But you know what? All those people who wrote those unwritten rules are dead. All right? Yeah. It's time for the new rules, which is we're trying to win baseball games. That's the new rule.
Yeah, it's a cumulative effort. We talked pre-show. I mean, 107 wins and not one less would have won the NL West last year, right? So
yeah. Yeah.
They've proven it, and you know, I think Willie agreed with me pre-show, every single move they make, you know, and yes, it's micromanaging from Farhan in the roster to take advantage of COVID and paternity leave and options and everything else and all the transactions they made throughout the year, right? To have spot starters, spot bench guys for a particular rotation they were facing, whatever it may be, all the pitching changes, leading or establishing a new record in pinch hit home runs, all the pinch hits they had. On and on and on, the hit and runs, the bunts against the shift, doing everything they can, may not win every game, but it won more games than if he hadn't done that kind of micromanaging and might have squeezed out an extra 10 wins out of the year or something like that, just from managing the roster and every game situation. And so that's the way they're approaching it. They always have. They always will with this, you know, this team. Analytics is part of it. And you're absolutely right, Eric, when you pointed out that Gabe was like, look, it's not just about this game. There was another game in this series. And so this is part of those analytics. It is part of, hey, if we can put more stress on the pitcher, if we can make them throw more pitches, if we could get in their mind, if we could get to the bullpen, if we can, you know, stress their pen a little bit more, that might help us in game 3. So that could squeeze out an extra win. And look what happened the next day, right? It was a squeaker. It was a tight game. And maybe it had something to do with it. Maybe it didn't. But the point is they won the next game. So all these little moves are cumulative throughout the season. And I just don't think everyone realizes it from game to game, because that's how we always have looked at it. It's just every game is independent. But of course not. You know, they're connected. They're, you know, they have an effect. It's just like, you know, blackjack. Whatever, however you play this one hand is going to affect the next hand. Or poker, same thing. So, you know, it's the way they're going to manage it, and I completely appreciate it now. But I admit, if you go back 10 years and ask me, I'd be like, F them. No way, man. That's against the unwritten rules of baseball.
I was definitely surprised when the stolen base happened. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Cool. But, you know, but my initial thought was, cool, let's go. That's what I want to see. I want to see you still trying, because, you know, we can't expect that for the rest of the game we're just going to mash the way we were those first couple innings, right? Yeah. I mean, that's obviously outside of the normal, like, way things go for this team. So I also want to add on to what you were saying about these the management decisions. I wish there was a war for a manager and a war for, like, a front office, right? Because we can talk about that for players, right? Like, oh, it was, his wins above replacement is 5.2 over the last whatever. But you can't do that with managing, because there's no way to really know, right, what happened. But I got to say, if there was, Kapler and Farhan have to be, like, the top guys in the league, right? Like, is there any other front office in baseball right now getting more out of the talent that they have on their team?
And they're going to keep getting that kind of talent. It's crazy to think that, you know, Kapler going as deep to talk about using the bullpen the next day. The Giants literally are on another level than other franchises. There's just no other way to say it. This happens to be the team we're rooting for. This happens to be what's going on.
Thank you.
In this organization right now. Right. I totally agree.
Thank you, world, you know? For giving this to Giants. Like,
I don't want to just be orange colored glasses, but that's what's going on. They're utilizing and doing things. And you know, one of these years, I don't know about you guys, but one of these years, they're going to hit on the exact right combination of players. And I kind of expect the Giants to win a championship in the next 5 years with the way this process has been going and the way the management's been going and the way that they've been working the wire and utilizing different players. And I don't see why that's going to stop. And that's why the thinking of, well, if we do add on another run and they happen to use this one reliever, maybe that burns them for the next day. You know, I mean, we never thought that way. We never thought that way. So the revolutionary thoughts don't just come in the numbers that are being crunched. They come into those little decisions that are being made on a day-to-day, play-by-play basis. And it just trickles down through the organization. And I agree with you. It'd be tough for other managers to be on board and implement what Kapler has done. Kapler and Zaidi obviously have just mutual respect for each other, because there's no other way to get the job done. I'm sure other managers would be good, but you remember how resistant Art Howe was in Moneyball to getting information like that. Yeah,
no, I'm not putting that guy in the lineup. Like,
No offense to Bochy, but Bochy was probably the same way. Like, he accepted some things, but I'm sure there were some things Bochy would not have accepted that Kapler is 100% on board with. So you're absolutely right. Kapler is the right guy at the right time for this team. And I can't believe the 180 we've all done on him.
I think Sabian and Bochy were the right guys for each other at the time too. Right. Like, it's totally just, you need that combo that's just on the same game plan. And the fact that it's like everybody up and down the roster is on the game plan. It seems like they're all just like, okay, nope, I agree. I'll do it. I'll do whatever you say we should do. I will say this. You mentioned earlier that the rules are going to change again next year and they're going to get rid of the shift. That's the kind of stuff that's going to hurt the Giants, is taking away strategic options, right? Yep. Like, the addition of strategic options has actually helped the Giants so much. And if you start restricting those, that's actually a detriment to us. I'm really sad about that, because this is like the Giants want as many like knobs they can tune as they can get, right? Like, we want to be able to, you know, I honestly think too, the addition of the DH kind of hurts us a little bit too, because now it's like one less knob to turn, right? Like, we, you know, like, we're going to do it. We're going to take advantage of it. Obviously we've got a couple of guys that are pretty good in that role. But the less options you give the Giants right now, the worse for them. The more options, the better. And that's why you're seeing, like, we're going to make every move possible. Every move in the book is going to happen this year. It's going to be insane. I can't wait. I'm here for it. I'm here for all of it.
All right, so we missed a lot of baseball, obviously, since we didn't go last Monday. But let's talk about some of the highlights of the week. We didn't even talk about him yet, but Eliel Ramos made his major league debut, and that was kind of out of the blue. Yeah. We expected to see him this year. But they brought him up, and he had his six ABs, got two base hits, and then was quickly sent right back down, which was not unexpected going into Cleveland against a lot of right-handed pitching, and that was the reason why. And so this is the kind of moves that, you know, they're going to be making throughout the year. But, I mean, to be honest, he looked comfortable at the plate. He looked like a big leaguer. I'm really excited about this guy. I don't know. What were your thoughts about seeing him out there?
Yeah, there was a 3-2 count he had where he just basically spit on a pitch that just grazed past the outside of the zone, and he walked and he scored a run. And it just told me he's disciplined enough to be in the majors. There was not a moment that seemed too big for him. He seemed very comfortable at the plate. He seemed like every other Giants hitter. You know what I mean? He fell right in the line. You could tell he had one approach and was looking for certain pitches in certain situations. But he had hands quick enough to foul off the pitches he couldn't handle. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a good sign, too. And from what I hear, his batting practices have been just absolute bomb fest. He's just putting on a show when he's hitting MVP.
Yeah, what is he, 22? I mean, yeah. Jesus.
It's kind of nuts the difference a year makes in professional baseball, right? Because I think we can say the same thing about Joey Bart this year, is that he just looks comfortable. And last year, it did not look comfortable, you know? Definitely, like, hits the balls hard. But both of those guys, I'm like, yeah, these guys are not, you know, quadruple A's anymore. These guys are big leaguers now. So, yeah, I'm pretty confident that about halfway through the season, he's going to be up for the long haul at some point.
Yeah, with Joey Bart. You know, we were talking, Willie, during the season preview that he had 103 or 107 career major league at-bats and no home runs, but 30-something home runs in the minors. Yeah. And we're like, that obviously is going to end this year. And within the first couple games, boom, home run one, and he's now hit his second one. So it's good to see that. He definitely looks a lot more comfortable at the plate, and he's framing pitches well. I think he's calling great games right now.
So they all seem to be on the same page right now. Joey Bart just seems like, I honestly think Buster being in the organization was just a shadow over him, and now that it's his show, he's just stepping up and saying, all right, I belong here, this is my team, let's do this. And it's he's been so impressive to watch. He looks very mature. He looks like he has an idea, you know
Buster and him must have had some sort of relationship, right? I wonder if Buster was like, look, I don't need to keep playing. It's this guy's time. It's his turn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the anti-Joe Montana, who's like, I'm going to make Steve Young wait.
He's Steve Young.
Buster's like, yeah. I'm not going to make this kid wait anymore. I think he's ready to go. It's funny how like kind of perfect this timing seems to have been, because, yeah, he just seems like, okay, it's Bart era. Buster era is over. We're sad about that. We're not happy about it. But, hey, if it's the Joey Bart era and he's this good, he's actually this good, the way he looks right now, then let's go.
All right, so the next highlight I wanted to talk about was, of course, their shiny new acquisition from the White Sox, Carlos Rodon. So I'm just going to play a little highlights from his last start in Cleveland, because this guy's been a stud.
Yeah, what, 23 strikeouts? What was it? How many strikeouts in two games?
21, I believe.
21. Yeah. I knew it was in the 20s. That's nuts. There's that framing.
'99. Yeah. I mean,
you gotta love a starting pitcher to throw gas like that. That's just crazy.
Yeah, Estes hit the nail on the head right there. To be able to reach back at the end and do it is phenomenal. Rodon, I mean, this pitching staff is ridiculous. 9 straight games, 2 earned runs or less, franchise record. And Rodon, I mean, both of his starts, what was it, 12 strikeouts and 5 innings in the first one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then blowing through the Guardians hitters. You know, we like you said, 45 runs in 6 games for the Guardians. And then Rodon just kind of mowed them down on Friday night. And that was it. It's been phenomenal. Who knew that that might be the best acquisition the Giants made this offseason? Because, I mean, he just elevated the pitching staff like another level.
Yeah. He's not even our ace.
No.
That's our second guy.
He's the double ace. I mean, 12 innings pitched, 21 strikeouts. Only 2 earned runs, only 5 hits in those 12 innings. He does have 4 walks. He can get a little bit wild, so hopefully that calms down a little bit. But holy crap, dude. I mean, yeah, he's subject to injury. He's had an injury history, but he was pretty good last year in terms of injury, pitched most of the year. So, I mean, if he goes 150 this year, I'm going to be happy pitching at this level. If he's like 2.5 ERA, 150 innings, I think it's a win for everyone.
Look, he's the injury prone thing, that's a mark on so many players right now. But a lot of that could be managed, right? And I think, you know, the way that the Giants work things, he's not going to have to pitch games where he throws like 120 pitches, right? No. So maybe this is the season that he finds that balance that allows him to just stay healthy all year. You know, hopefully they don't take him out of a perfect game with only 80 pitches in the 7th inning.
I mean, what was that?
Dave Roberts.
You knew it was going to come up at some point, right?
Oh, boy.
Well, you talk about being old school. We're all on the same page, right? Like, send him back.
Yeah, that was bullshit. That was so stupid.
I get it. Like, if he's at 110.
It's Clayton Kershaw, too. Of course he's going to get 6 more outs.
How many more shots is this guy going to get at it? Not many. Let him go.
Not many. I know. He's never had one. I let him go for it.
I can't believe he said he was on board with it. BS, Clayton. You're full of crap. You have no idea if you'll ever get that chance again. He's totally full of crap. They should have left him out there.
I know. That was too bad. I mean, obviously, we're not Dodgers fans, but we're baseball fans. And, you know, it's always nice to see these things, perfect games. There haven't been too many of them. And who knows if it would have happened. Of course, they bring in the reliever, gives up a hit right away. But, you know, you were mentioning given these guys rest and knowing when to pull them. I mean, that's what happened with Disco against Cleveland. He wasn't pitching poorly, but he had 4 1/3 in there and only 64 pitches. And he wasn't struggling, but, you know, Cap thought it was time. And so he pulled him. And you could tell Disco was a little bit unnerved and a little bit pissed in the post-game comments. But he said, look, obviously the decision was right. We won the game. And that's the whole point, right? The bullpen was rested after Webb and Rodon. So, you know, they weren't really taxed. So he's like, you know, maybe there's something he didn't see in Disco. He didn't feel comfortable going, the third time through the lineup. Whatever the decision was, he made it and it worked out. So these are the kinds of things that you're making the decisions at the right time when the bullpen is rested and it wins you games. That's great. Who knows? If Disco stays in there, he gives up a 2-run bomb, they lose that game. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, Doug brought up the fact that, yeah, there'll be convenient IL stints throughout the year for guys like him. And I agree, we saw it all last year too. You know, same with the COVID list and the paternity and the bereavement and anything else that they could, you know. Zaidi's got a big trench coat, and he's looking in every pocket of that trench coat going, where can I hide someone this week, you know, and pull someone else out?
It speaks to what Willie was talking about. It's just another way that the Giants manipulate things. You give them something to manipulate, and they'll manipulate it. Yep. And they're going to do that with their pitchers this year. It's the exact same roadmap with Rodon. He's going to end up on the IL at some point in the middle of the season. That's why the Giants try to have depth in the starting pitching right now. That's, you know, they'll use openers if they have to.
I would love to see Farhan Zaidi's tax return. It's got to be the most complicated bullshit ever. He's like, look, man, I got money here. You know, it's in all the spots, and you can't get to it, Uncle Sam.
Yep, and everything's ironclad. Go ahead and audit me, bitch.
Yeah. you can audit me. Go right ahead.
Perfectly
legitimate. He's a freaking wizard, dude. He's a freaking wizard.
Yeah. Also, of course, Brandon Belt started off hot, despite having like 4 spring training ABs. He's launched 3 bombs this year, and here's his bomb yesterday against Cleveland.
Oh, That's sound.
I mean, according to the unwritten rules, he should just be taking every pitch when we're up 8-1, right?
I love the C5s, by the way. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, he's, again, another thing that is just continued from last year is Brandon Belt stepping into this role now as the veteran, the guy who can carry the club on his back when we need him to. And, you know, him winking at the camera and all that. I mean, goddamn.
Coming in on the boat? Coming in on the boat? I mean, come on.
Captain's hat. He put the C on his chest again. I mean, yeah, he's, it's so fun because we've watched him, obviously, like, I think this podcast has basically been around his entire career.
Yeah.
Right? We've watched him go from, you know, the baby giraffe to the captain, and it's been quite a ride. I remember very distinctly a show that we did that Jen was on that she said that, you know, because she used to work, you know, with me and KMBR and stuff like that. They were doing, like, some appearance or something like that. Brandon Belt was across the street and had to, like, jaywalk to, like, get over to where the interview was about to happen. And apparently, like, tripped and fell along the, like, way of, like, trying to jaywalk. It was in the middle of the street. It was, like, fell down and then had to, like, get up and then jog over and was, like, awkwardly smiling and just say, "Hey, guys, what's up?" Like, as if, like, it didn't just happen that he just fell down in the middle of the street.
Just, like, totally ignored it. She was just like,
"Oh, I love him so much." You know, gushing over how funny and awkward this guy is. And now we're looking at him like he is no longer funny and awkward. He's funny. Yeah, nothing's awkward anymore. This guy, just everything. He knows exactly what he's doing at all times, and he's killing it. And he's about to have a big season. I really feel it.
He is. He's a stud. I totally agree with you. They were talking about on the broadcast yesterday, since he was DHing, he was probably in there all day in the dugout just yammering away at everybody and talking and talking and talking because he's not out there on the field. And he's the one who's pretty much busting on everybody all the time. And you can just tell it's his team, you know. It's been for a long time, it was, you know, it was Timmy's team. And then it was kind of Buster and Bumgarner, but Buster's team. And Belt's totally embraced the role.
But Buster's team for a long time, yeah.
Yeah. And Belt, I think he's a stud. I really do. He could be a top. If he hits the way he's hitting out of the gate, he could be a top five MVP candidate this year if the Giants keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah,
it's Brandon's team for real now.
It's the Brandon's team, and if Bell can, again, every freaking year, if he can just stay healthy, he always ends up having that freak, you know. Last year it was the bunt in Colorado. There's been the balls during batting practice. There's been, I mean, it's just always something freak about him. And so maybe if he can avoid, you
it's
know,
the
unlucky horseshoe.
The street, you know?
Yeah, it's exactly. Like, it's like,
you know. But, I mean, look, like, again, like, another moment we can all remember, right, is, like, crying when he's being told that he's on the big league squad. Like, we've really watched this guy go from the, you know, the timid rookie to the captain. It's incredible. You know, it sucks getting old, but it's fun to have these kind of things, right, in your life where you're like, well, I've really watched this journey.
Yeah, he just beams confidence. And, you know, when you and I had interviewed him in the past, I mean, you're talking about Olive Garden and everything else. I mean, that's the thing he does. He just, like, goes off on tangents and talks about funny parts of life. And, you know, he doesn't take it too seriously, yet is still dedicated to his craft. And they asked him, you know, how have you started out the gate so hot without having, you know, adequate at-bats in spring training? And he said, I haven't had adequate at-bats the last 3 years. And he's like, look at it. He's like, I just rely on my experience. He's like, I've been in the league for 11 years now, and I think I've had enough at-bats and enough experience where that has helped me get ready for games because I know how pitchers pitch. I know what to expect. I know what my body's capable of. And he just relaxes. And he's like, it really comes down to swing at strikes, let balls go. I mean, he's like, that sounds stupid, but that's it. And he's got a great eye. He's got a great eye, obviously.
It's so funny. It's so funny to hear you, like, repeat that question. It's like, how are you doing so well against these major league pitchers when when you didn't have 30 at bats against double A pitchers in April? You know, or like, it's like, dude, what are you talking about? I don't need to face some fucking scrub. Like, I know what a fastball looks like. I'm gonna hit it. Yeah, he's you know what also is great about him is that we've talked forever about the injuries and all that stuff, and how he's never had a full season, wasn't able to ever break 30 home runs, all that stuff. He is one of those guys, though, makes the most of the opportunities that he does get. If you look at the wins above replacement or whatever for batters, just hitting, forget everything else, he's like seventh. And if you were to break it down to like per at bat, and you know, it's like he's above guys that we consider like perennial all-stars and MVP candidates. And we just don't think of it that way. And baseball doesn't think of him that way because he just hasn't played 162 games ever. He's never had like a 500 at bat season. So, but he rakes like the best of them.
We got some.
He's the superstar. Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, do you see that? I was just looking at my phone. Yeah, got a little alert. So tonight's game, this is per Susan Slusser, tonight's game at New York has been postponed.
No!
Doubleheader tomorrow starting at 3:10 p.m. So, God now, damn it.
No baseball?
Is it a 9 or a 7? That's what I'm trying to find out, if it's a 9 or a 7.
No, they do 9 now.
They're doing 9 this year, yep. Apparently.
For the Webb-Scherzer matchup, we need 9 innings.
Oh, that would be the second game of the doubleheader. Oh, my God. Yeah. So, today is my day off. I'm supposed to work tomorrow. Now I definitely have to get the day off tomorrow.
God damn it.
Doubleheader?
Yeah.
10 our time then? Okay.
Yeah, so that's really unfortunate, guys, because they got a four gamer here in New York, and they got 8 games left on this roadie. So now they're gonna have 8 games in 7 days.
And well, have you noticed like we have the one game series with?
So that's one of the makeup things. Yeah, it used to be an off day, but because geographically they could kind of stop in Milwaukee on the way home, this is how they're going to make up those 7 or 8 games they lost at the beginning of the season. So this is how they fill them in, right? A couple doubleheaders here and there. And then a couple of these like stupid single game things. So that's how they're going to do it. But
yeah,
now it's even impacted more.
They're doing one
more
doubleheader later in the season
In
Milwaukee at the end of another road trip. In the middle of a road trip when they go to L.A. and Chicago, they're doing one in September. And then they're tacking on the Padres games at the end.
I mean, look, the players and the teams, they brought this on themselves. They couldn't agree on some stupid bullshit before the season. So...
come on, let's go drink till we can't feel feelings anymore.
God damn it, no baseball. That pissed me off.
You know what? I might make a drink right now. Yeah. I might make a drink right now if I can't watch baseball tonight.
Monday. Forget about it, you know?
Oh, yeah. God damn it. Oh, well. Anyway.
Wait, is there a Warriors game tonight, though?
Oh, is there? I don't know.
Because if there is, then it's okay.
Then we got something. We got something to look forward to here.
Yeah.
All right, so Logan Webb, obviously you just said he's the ace, and boy, has he looked the ace already. Just dominant in his first two outings, 8 innings his last start. So this guy's just picked up where he left off. And look, I'm not going to say he came out of nowhere, but we did not expect what he did last year at all. And then, you know, kind of coming in this year, you're like, is it going to be, you know, not the sophomore jinx because it's not really his second year, but you know what I'm saying. It's like, is he going to start off the same way? Oh, yeah, no problem. I think the dude just has confidence. Confidence. See, the guy is a stud. He's a bulldog. And I just love it. And, you know, he's shown that he doesn't really have too much of an injury history. And he's a little bit of a Matt Cain type. And I fully expect him to just have just a solid year again. You know, not be as injured as Rodon might be. And pull his weight and just be the ace of the staff. I mean, any concerns? You just impressed by this guy? Surprised? Anything?
He's to me... the perfect embodiment of the guy, the kind of pitcher that's going to do well in the modern age of baseball. Everything moves, everything sinks, everything fires out of his hand with like just explosiveness. You know, like I think just gone are the days of I'm just going to throw a fastball really fast by you, because hitters these days, they hit fastballs. You know, obviously, like you can still do it. We see Rodon doing it, but Webb is the kind of guy who's just like, this is the modern pitcher. You know, it's just nothing. It's all Dookie, but it's all coming out in like the mid-90s. You know what I mean? So it's fine. It doesn't need to be 99. It needs to be 94 with movement. and that's what he kind of gives you with everything. Yes. He can't throw a straight pitch.
No, speaking to that, he has only thrown three true fastballs, according to StatCast.
Yeah, he doesn't throw a four-seamer.
He's thrown three of them this year, apparently. That's it. But he's got 66 sinkers, 60 changeups, 52 sliders. So he will consistently just mix all three and pound different parts of the zone. That's what it is. And so, you know, like you said, the ball's coming in, and you got to decide, all right, is this the sinker that's going to die for a righty, you know, down and away from me? Is this the slider that's going to come in on me and break back a little bit? Is this the changeup that's suddenly going to fall off the table? You don't know, and you have to make that decision in that time. So you're right. Not being just a fastball-reliant guy is what makes him effective. It's just fun to watch him pitch. Yeah. I haven't felt this way since Timmy, when a guy goes out there for the Giants and I just expect them to win every time or expect them to compete. You know, you can get lost doing something else around the house when you're watching a guy like this pitch, because you just know inning after inning he's going to get the outs, get through it, and it's going to give the Giants a chance to win.
The eight inning start, it was like I kept looking up and I was like, oh, Logan's still in the game. Wow. Because, like, by the sixth inning, like, I expect that we're in the bullpen with the way the Giants operate this year and last year. You know, it's like we're going to start seeing that kind of, you know, just the, you know, the parade of relievers coming in. But I just kept looking up and I was like, oh, yeah. And what's his pitch count? Oh, of course. Okay. Yeah. He can still go. I think, what did he get up to? Like, in the mid 90s for pitches? He still didn't even break 100, right? Even in eight innings?
Yeah, he didn't break 100.
No.
Yeah.
But they did say, he did say that if it was later in the season, he would have kept going, which, I mean, makes absolute sense because he just doesn't feel as strong because of the short spring training. His chase rate is in the 97th percentile. So he is getting guys to swing and miss at pitches just way more than the average pitcher this year. By the way, he looks like an ace.
You brought up Timmy, and I kind of want to say something about Logan that I think Timmy didn't have, which is, I think Logan's going to have longevity.
So do I.
You know, Timmy had the violent motion that just clearly took everything out of him, right?
Yeah.
So he was obviously like the best at baseball for that 2 year span, right? And we'll remember him fondly forever. But that was never going to last very long. And it's funny that we were all so surprised that it didn't last very long.
Yeah, like, it's like we all knew it. Like,
come on, man. Do you see what he's doing up there?
And his dad was always on KMBR because they asked him, what about his mechanics? He's so small, he's going to wear himself. We're working on it. It's going to be fine. But then you saw the velocity drop over the years, and you just knew
it. He should have been Eckersley, man. He should have been Dennis Eckersley. He should have just switched John to the closer Smoltz role and had Smoltz and had like another stellar 7 years, but he just wouldn't do it. But so Logan Webb has the easiest looking delivery ever. It looks effortless, right? Yep. And also he's just kind of a built guy. Like he's sturdy. He's not, you know, like he's not like a huge guy, but he's just like you say, Matt Cain. I think that's one of the biggest things that you look at and you see that quality. It's like the mentality and the body type, right? Like he's just sturdy. So if he can, like he's, and with the movement, when he loses velocity later in his career, he's going to be able to find other ways to get people out, you know, pitch the contact more than strikeouts. Yeah. Well, we could have this guy for like the next 10 years, right?
That's why, like,
you guys, I think he could be a cornerstone. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys both compared him to Matt Cain. I had another buddy who works for the Padres compare him to Matt Cain the other day. And it just seems like that's what everybody sees. And when I look at it, I actually think Logan Webb could be better than Matt Cain. Not as good as Timmy have been at his peak, but I think Logan Webb is more talented than Matt Cain was. Now, he might not get a perfect game or whatever or get to start certain World Series.
Well, there's only 23 of those in existence. So, yeah, likely that he won't.
But, you know, he just seems more talented, you know, for all the reasons. His stuff's going to play over a longer period of time. I hope he's the cornerstone for a while. It's nice when you can find a pitcher to build off like that.
Yeah.
He's bought in, too. You know, he's the California kid. He's totally bought into the organization. And you can't ask for much more out of your ace. I mean, you got Belt, the superstar, who's bought in on that side. And you know he's bought in because he bunts the ball now. And then you got Webb, who's bought in on the front end of the rotation. Like, how can you go wrong having two leaders like that right now in the clubhouse just wanting to go out there and do things for the team? And it's pretty impressive. So I'm with you. I think Logan Webb's a talented MF-er.
God damn. All right, so before we get into our player of the week and the other stuff we want to talk about, I just wanted to say that I Yeah, I know they lost. I get it. I went to another game. They lost again, just like last year. But I will say that everything's almost back to normal. I hope you can come out for a game sometime this year, because all you have to be is vaxxed, and you got full access just like before. Full clubhouse access before the game and after the game.
Yeah.
Media dining is open again. It all just feels normal.
You can sit next to like John Miller
yes, like, exactly. Yeah. And in fact, so I didn't get there early enough to do the clubhouse before, but I was down, you know, doing batting practice and all that stuff, and then went up for media dining. And I came out with my food, and Kruko's coming down the hallway with his cane, and I just said, "You're still my wife and daughter's favorite." And he did his woohoo thing or whatever. I turned around, I forgot a fork. So I went back in, and him and Kipe were sitting there at the table together just talking ball. And I'm like, I just wanted to freaking sit down and just, you know, chew the fat with him. Obviously, I didn't, but it just felt normal. It felt normal. I mean, it felt like the way it used to be.
I bet if you did just sit down and just introduce yourself. Don't say something awkward like "you're still my wife's favorite" or whatever, but just sit down. Just sit down and say, "Hey, I'm Chad. I do this podcast." They'd probably just be like, "Hey, what's going on, Chad?" Like that, you know. They talk to everybody in the
ballpark,
right? So, by the way, have I got some news for you guys?
Oh boy,
my lease is ending June 20th, and I'm not going to find another apartment in Austin. I'm going to find an apartment in San Francisco.
Oh, you're coming back home.
I am moving back to San Francisco in the middle of the summer.
Coming back home, baby.
Middle of baseball season. And I will not have a job when I get there.
Right.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I'm in the process of doing that. But if I don't, I'm going to abuse the hell out of our privileges of being able to go to the clubhouse.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of extra time.
Yeah, if I don't have a job when I get back, oh my God, am I going to be at as many games as I can be at. So yes, we will, Chad, we will get to cover some games this year together.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic.
Summer nights at the yard with Willie. That's what the theme of 2022 is going to be.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm super happy about that. Because for those of you guys who maybe haven't been listening to the podcast forever, Willie was born and raised in San Francisco, and he was out here forever and ever. And so that's what we used to do. We used to cover games together. And then we'd even go to Zeke's afterward, which no longer exists.
Rest
in peace. But there's other options. And we'd have our bonusodes. And those are actually still up on the feed if you ever want to Google bonusodes. And it's just a drunken fest talking about the game and people dancing on bar tops.
More bonusodes are in our future, Chad.
Yeah, I think so. So actually, that's fantastic, because covering the game is fantastic, but being able to, you know, chew the fat with you or someone else, you know, just makes it better. Kind of tag team in the thing. So cool, man. Good to hear that. Holy shit.
Yeah. All no, right. I'm excited. I'm definitely sad That's to awesome. Be leaving Austin. I've made a lot of friends here and everything, but I will say it's tough to follow. I mean, Eric, you've done it forever. It's tough to follow a baseball team when you don't live in the city. That'd be a baseball team. You got to try. There's so much trying. I can't just when you live in San Francisco, if you just happen to be in a restaurant or a bar and the game is happening, it's on, right? Well, not in Austin. The game is never on. I have to make it on. So, I'm excited to walk around. I will say this. I will miss this a lot. I wear my Giants hat every day. And when you see another Giants hat in Austin, Texas, man, you're just instant friends, dude. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, hey, man, and you start talking. It's, you know, like both of us, it's so funny. Like, you see that recognition, like the guy sees you see him. Suddenly it's like, oh, he's heading over here, and I'm heading over to him, and then we're going to have a conversation. I will miss that, because in San Francisco, it's like, yeah, all right. Giants hats everywhere, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're not like stopping and pointing at everyone. Hey, yeah. You know? Yeah. It's
like ubiquitous. Okay, so last year, Giants are winning 107, right? And so, you know, down that stretch in September and stuff, I'm just like, what I missed, like, I will say, that part is awesome, seeing that random Giants hat. But, oh, my God, like 2010, 2012, 2014, when the Giants are doing so well and just, like, everybody's wearing Giants gear, the entire city is just, like, put me in, coach, because I've got a full jersey on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for that again, and I think we're going to get that this season.
Hell to the mother effing yeah.
Mike wants to come to San Francisco. Mike in the chat.
Yeah, I know. There's actually, there's several people that are having plans to come out this July and August. So there's definitely some future meetups, I'd say. And in fact, I've been thinking about organizing it regardless of who's visiting. But just say, hey, you know, this is when we're covering a game. Come out, meet us. You know, we'll talk shop. We'll do whatever. So
get tickets to the games we're covering, and we'll have a beer. We won't be able to roll out the red carpet like we did for Eric when he first came to San Francisco, but
not quite dab.
Still a memorable night.
Yeah, that was a great night. That was a good night, wasn't it? All right, let's talk about our players of the week. I'm going to go ahead and take Carlos Rodon. We already said that 12 innings, 21 Ks, 2 earned runs, 5 hits. Dude is dealing. He's confident. He's got the swag and the strikeout sword, the whole thing going. So, I look forward to many, many starts coming from him. And if he does not get hurt, I think he's a Cy Young candidate. I really do. And not that Webb isn't. He is too. But I'm going to go with him for my player of the week. So, Eric, what you got?
Mine is also a new addition. I love watching Jock so far. I don't know about you guys, but Jock's like a natural-born giant. He just seems to be. He really does. He fits in with the guys. When he hit his last homer, you could just tell when he got back to the dugout. He had 3 different handshakes with 3 different players on his way just to getting into the dugout. And you don't develop that kind of relationship and do that kind of crap if people on the team don't like you. So you can totally tell he's fallen into favor with them. And he's buying into what the Giants have so far. He's 8-for-22. He's hitting .364. And he's hitting the crap out of the ball at 97.3 miles an hour is his average exit velocity. He's been leading the league in hard hit balls as well. And it's just a testament so far, too. He's been okay with getting pinch hit late in games. He understands the swapping of him and Austin Slater at times because he knows it's going to happen on the flip side for him later on in the season. So just Jock Peterson, he's absolutely – it's been fun to watch him. He's my player of the week because it's nice to see he bought in right away. Belt would be an easy choice right now, and I probably –
oh, yeah.
If that was Willie's choice, I totally just screwed
him. No, you didn't. I'm not taking Belt because he is – it's too obvious, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So is this going to be like the post-game rap when, you know, it's the fourth guy and he picks like the bench guy who bunted over the stealth pick? Yeah.
Jock's been like, he just, it's been overlooked. He hasn't been in the middle of things. He's just been kind of in the middle of something. So it's not been as noticed that he's contributing as hard as he has. No. So
Jock is a good pick, but it's funny that you say he's not really been in the middle of things. My pick, by the way, Tyro Estrada, has the same amount of hits as Jock this season. And I thought Jock was supposed to not be an average guy, by the way. But he's hitting .360 right now. So, you know, screw that. I'm taking Tyro because, second base is an important position for the Giants this season. With Listella sitting right now, who's really going to – we have a lot of movement outside of shortstop when it comes to our infield. We always kind of have. And I feel like second base has always been one of those like kind of like spots where when the guy is good at second, the Giants are good, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when we shore up that spot, which is like kind of a forgotten position in baseball. You don't talk about – there's no like – superstar second baseman, right? It's like it's just not the position that kind of carries the team, right? So, but it's an important one because he's on the freaking field, you know what I mean? He's part of the lineup. So you shore that up, and Tyro is just he's a stud right now, man. Like his at-bats the other day were solid as hell. He's got speed. He might be the fastest guy on the team, actually. Which, you know, we think about like Slater and Duggar and stuff, but Tyro's actually, he's a real speed demon. But he's got pop. He's fielding like crazy. He's made a bunch of really, really great plays where he's had to like dive and 360 and throw people out and stuff. So, you know, I'm excited. I think even when Listella comes back, he might get a lot of the time at second. So, And Listella, obviously, like, you know, I would love to see you back, dude. We're happy when you get here. But right now, I'm not really missing him because Tyro's scary, you know? So,
he's losing at bats to Listella because Tyro's playing so well. And Tyro's hitting the ball harder. He's hitting it 4 miles an hour harder than he has any other season before. He's hitting the sweet spot more. His hard hit percentage is as high as it's ever been. So, like you said, he's got a really good approach at the plate right now. Both two at bats yesterday. He went 7 pitches deep in one and 8 pitches deep in the other. And
it was home run was in the full count, right? So,
It was the 8th pitch of the at bat, I think.
By the way, guess who's leading the team in RBIs? Tyro Estrada.
Yeah.
He was in the middle of everything.
Who would have predicted that after 9 games, by the way?
And they got him off the trash heap from the Yankees. I mean, that's, again, another just beautiful move.
When I look at the guy, I can't believe that because doesn't he just seem like a guy with a lot of tools, right? Doesn't he just like kind of look like – it's like, oh, my God, you're fast, you can field, you can hit. Why are you not – just like a big leaguer. Like,
he was a top prospect for the Yankees. And, you know, reading some of the Yankee blogs when they picked him up last year, there was a lot of like, you guys can have him. You know,
was he struggling that hard?
Yeah, he just could never make it in the show. He just was always he was always classified as that quad A player, had all the promise in the world, 5 tools, you know, 4 tools, and just could never do it. So, you know, it might be one of those things where he's benefiting off of a change of scenery, analytics, better coaching. Those things, right? And, you know, we're seeing the fruition right now. So
with him, Lamont Wade, you know, like some of these young guys, the Giants have like maybe a solid new little core, right? Like we had the Brandon Crawford, Brandon Belt, Buster Posey, all that stuff. Maybe we've got a new little solid core that's going to be here for a while.
Well, that's really going to expand their options on the bench, though. You know, when they get Listella and, you know, Lamont back with the left-handed bats, I mean, it's going to improve so much. I mean, granted, they didn't get that big right-handed bat they wanted, but at the same time, they're going to have that option, you know. Even though Tyro's hitting the cover off the ball, he's doing great right now. It's still going to give him those late inning, you know, AB pinch hits, which they've been lacking a little bit now, which is kind of why they sent Ramos down and what have you. But, team is stacked.
Well, like you said, two things are going to happen. Ramos is going to stick and stay later this year and be that right-handed bat.
And that's another part of the young core, yeah.
Right. And Estrada is probably, if he continues doing what he's doing, going to take over the starting role at second base and move Listella into a utility role, which edges Dubon out. So the Giants, having the expanded roster right now, are trying to get Dubon into situations to showcase him. I think they're trying to shop him around for a trade if they can. And Estrada playing so well has absolutely impacted Dubon's future with the club.
Yeah.
I'd be sad if Dubon left because I like him so much because of his utility. I mean, like, you can put him in center, you can put him in short, you can put him in second, you can put him in third, put him anywhere on the field. And defensively, he's going to be fantastic. And he's drinking a Blue Moon in his post game interviews.
Oh, I missed that.
Did you guys see this?
No. That's awesome.
Okay, let me find it. Let me find it.
He doesn't even look old enough to drink.
You know, he's like 20. He's like 27 or something like that.
Yeah, he's a little bit older, but yeah, he's. Oh my God! You know, I love the guy. He just still seems so raw. Like he just makes these little mental mistakes here and there.
He does. That's exactly what.
And you're like, just tighten that up, dude. I like you. I want you to succeed here, but just tighten it up a little bit. You know.
And you know the Giants are like, we've coached you up better than that, and they're starting to get frustrated with those kinds of things. He's 27. Yeah. He'll be 28 in July.
Yeah, because there's only so many chances Farhan's going to give these guys. You know, it's a revolving door for sure.
I'm posting the link into our private chat here, but there was a Reddit post that had the actual video, which is more funny than what you have here, which is just the Twitter pick. Of him actually mid sip, but if you watch the video, he's literally going like, yeah, swig, and then puts it down.
Oh. Look at that.
Yeah, but I mean, okay. So Chad, we've been in the clubhouse after the game. Obviously, there's beers. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah,
there's beers in the clubhouse, right? But usually during the interview, the guys aren't having a beer at that moment.
Not generally, no. I've rarely seen that before.
So I love the fact that he's like, nah, dude, look, dude, this is post-game time. I'm having my beer. By the way, this we have to continue as a tradition, Chad. I think we have to do this forever. This has to be the Torture Cast tradition. When we're in the press, or when we're in the press box, and then we're in the clubhouse after the game, mm-hmm. we always have to find the Matt Duffy guy.
Oh, I know, I know.
Scroll up a little bit.
Yeah, I saw it for a
Don't
second.
Don't go
there.
To the guy who had the game-winning hit that there's like 20 reporters around. Find the guy who had like the there diving catch or something like that. There it is. Yes. Find the guy who had the diving catch, and or the bunt or whatever, and let's talk to that guy. Right? We'll always be like the only two guys talking to somebody, and they're going to be surprised that we're over there.
So, Tyro, you did a great job backing up first base on that one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We just wanted to talk to you about that. What were you thinking in the second inning when you were making that play?
Yeah, I remember when we went up to Duffy, he was like, you want to talk to me? Like, what? Yeah,
he's like, okay.
All right, sure.
But he had a big hit in that game. It was just he wasn't – what was it, like the starting pitcher throwing like seven strong or something like that?
Something like that. They always choose someone, to come out to stand and then, you know, whatever. You go mingle afterwards. So, yeah, no, you're right.
But the way it works is all of the reporters – and I understand why they do this. All of the reporters basically are like a mob. Like moving around the club.
Kind of stay together. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because, and I know why they do it. I know why they do it, Chad. Because you know how awkward it felt for us to walk up to Matt Duffy in that moment?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They don't want to feel that.
That's right.
Feel that feeling.
That's right.
They want to hold their like mic out and let someone else ask questions. Right.
Yep. And then, yeah, exactly. They want someone else to ask questions, and then they'll chime in if it is comfortable. If it's like, mm-hmm. oh, I can ask a question here. No, you're totally right.
Go back to their laptop and type out their little story for the San Jose Mercury or whatever. Yeah.
Sometimes it is a little hard to do.
TortureCast needs to stand out. That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
We're going to talk to the catcher who never even came in the game. Kirk Casale, what were you doing for 9 innings?
Let's talk to the bullpen catcher who's not even on the roster.
Let's talk to the last guy in the bullpen who never came in the game.
All right, so then your goal this season, guys, is to get an official mascot of the podcast, and we'll pick one guy that we rally behind. Who's
oh, dude. Guy or, talk to him every game no matter what.
Right.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, Yarlene, you didn't
pick
get
one
in
guy.
Game, but,
yeah.
You know, what were you thinking sitting out there in the bullpen as Alex Cobb threw 9 shutout innings.
Yeah. What socks did you wear today? And are they lucky? Yeah.
That exactly. would actually be funny, too, if we picked a guy who didn't speak English.
Oh. Oh, my God.
What are these bozos? He'd be like, what is going on with these idiots?
You're like, Duvall, we need our interpreter over here. We're going to talk to
oh
you.
Oh, my God. That would be freaking hilarious. Just keep asking in English, and they keep responding like, no habla inglés. Yeah. And you're like, oh, so not. What you're saying is that... Yeah.
We just nod and at the end, give him a fist bump and walk away. You know?
Yeah, be like, cool, thanks.
Yep.
And every response is Spanish for, I'm just here to help the club. I'm just glad to get the opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
This is like me talking to the dishwasher at my brewery every day. Because he always has a baseball hat on. But apparently, he doesn't have a team. He wears a Yankees hat. He wears a Cleveland hat. He wears like 5 different teams' hats. I've seen
Likes
a Mariners hat on this man. He doesn't really speak English. His name is Crisanto. He's never apparently. This is, by the way, I'm immortalizing Crisanto right now on the TortureCast podcast. He's apparently never missed a day of work. Never called out sick. He works 6 days a week. He's never taken a vacation, and he's been there since the place opened, so 4 years. He washes dishes every day, right? This if we had an employee of the month, it would be this guy. He's definitely in his mid-60s, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
And every day when I come in, he looks at me and he goes like, baseball? You watch baseball? And I'm like, yeah, man, I watched the game last night. It was dope. And then he goes, okay. And then that's the end of it. Like, we don't really – it's like we can't go deeper. We can't go deeper into
right,
that conversation.
Right.
But oh he sees God. Me with the Giants hat every day, and he sees me – like, if I'm in the kitchen, my phone has got the game on it. So he knows I'm a baseball fan. So we just kind of acknowledge that in each other.
When does he have time to watch baseball if he's working 6 days a week and not taking vacation?
I don't know. He must have MLB.TV. He must. He must go home and apparently watch his 6 teams like all on replay. He watches the archives.
You'd be surprised. He's got like six TVs at home. All of them are on a grid pattern.
This guy's living the life. Yeah. He's doing it all. I'm pretty sure he's one of those guys. He just works his ass off and sends all his money to somebody else. You know?
Yeah.
He's a stalwart, dude. He's a stud.
All right. He goes deep. Well, speaking of deep, I think we need to bring back a segment as we wrap up here.
Yes.
Why are we going to win it all? So I'll go ahead and start off saying
it makes sense again, doesn't it?
It makes sense. They're back in the saddle, guys.
I mean, win 107 games. It makes sense.
So one, expanded playoffs. Whatever. They're going to win the West anyway, right? Right. Even though we said wild card, they're going to win the West. Let's just say that. Two, I'm going to go to fewer games. And then three, they're starting pitching. It's just going to carry them all the way. You know, hitting can do whatever it wants, but the starting pitching is going to be the stalwart this year. They're going to dominate.
Burn three Ys on the first Y, we'll win it all.
Well, it's catch up.
That's a bad play, dude.
It's catch up, man. That's why. All right, Willie,
what are you going to do next week? Now you're out. You just burned them all.
All right, Willie, what do you got?
Why we will win it all. Okay, I'm going to give you two reasons. I'm going to burn two, but it's kind of one. And that's Logan Webb and Rodon.
Mm-hmm.
We got a 1-2 punch. When you get to the playoffs, that's really important because you generally move to like a four-man rotation or whatever. If you can get two guys in a row that win games, you know, you go up 2-0 in a series in the playoffs, you're going to win that series most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So having that 1-2 punch is something, you know, the Giants, like, I will say, 2014, we had the one punch, and that's all we needed. But, you know, I think this team's going to need the 1-2 punch, and we got it. We have it. It's legit. So there you go. Logan Webb, Rodon.
Eric.
All right, well, then I'm not going to burn starting pitching, and I'll use it later in the season. I'm going to use this now because I can, because, you know, who knows what happens throughout a season. Jock Peterson. I'm going to stay with my theme. Jock Peterson has won the World Series each of the
Jocktober.
Last 2 years. Right.
Yeah.
We're going to witness another Jocktober. He's going to hit some huge pinch hit or just regular hit, grand slam maybe, in some playoff game that'll be, you know, part of a turning point game that the Giants use to catapult themselves to a title. So I'm going to stick with Jock. You know, some guys are just winners and Jock's a winner. So, you know, why not make it because of Jock this year?
I mean, would he be the first player to win three consecutive World Series on three different teams? I mean, that's never happened, right?
I think so. Reggie Sanders came close, but I think the loss in 0-2 with the Giants killed him. In that respect, I think because he went back to that. I know in 01 he was with the D-backs, but 2000 it might not have been the Mets. I'm not sure, but that's got to be some sort of record, right?
It's got to be because I know it only been done a few times, you know, like Jock did it last year, so that it has happened before. But right. Three times, that seems really unlikely. So maybe he'll be the first. That's what we're going to be rooting for. Definitely bust out the pearl necklace and little Jocktober. We'll take it. All right, so coming up, the Giants have, of course, this four-game series in New York at Citi Field. Unfortunately, today's game is postponed. It's going to be part of a doubleheader tomorrow, and we're really looking forward to that. Alex Cobb looks great, and, of course, the matchup, the key matchup, is going to be Scherzer and Logan Webb in game number 2 for the nightcap. Then they're going to have 3 in Washington. And then even though we're going to be recording next Monday, that day they will be landing in Milwaukee, playing just a quick one game there before returning home against the A's. But we'll talk about that, of course, next week. All right. Eric, you got anything going on right now?
Just head on over to Giants Chatter on Facebook. Join the group. Game threads are popping now. We're doing live streams all the time. Live stream today, previewing this Mets series. Introducing a new live stream on Sunday mornings. Drinking coffee, talking Giants baseball. Lots of live streaming going on. So if you like looking at my face and the inside of my car, head over to Giants Chatter on Facebook, and you can check out that stuff. And there's good articles, game recaps, all sorts of stuff you want out of it. It's a good bunch of Giants fans who all seem to understand the game in a real way and know that the Giants are for real. That's the fun part. When they're winning, it's all fun, you know?
What percentage would you say is doomer over there?
Really,
Reddit is like 80% doomer, and that frustrates me.
I'd say 10 tops. It's okay. Slim. Yeah, all right. Everybody's kind of buying into the process. That's why it's been fun, because you kind of watch everybody unfold and talk to each other about the process that the Giants are going through. You know, that's where some of the good discussions I've had have come, where, you know, people are like, well, they're doing this because they did this. Whereas in the past, it was just like, why isn't Ramos up for good? And there hasn't been a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know, unlike other Facebook groups that may not understand the depths of what the organization is doing, Giants Chatter is pretty good about that.
All right. Because, yeah, Reddit's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy the whole pants off thing when we win and all that kind of stuff. And but there's a lot of like, oh, this dude just struck out. DFA.
Yeah, DFA him. No, you like, see it all the time.
Get
all
this the guy out of here. Time. Like, it's like, guys, it's baseball. You know, you're gonna be out 70% of the time if you're good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I mean,
even with that, with the strikeouts of the Giants, their approach, half their approach is guessing on pitches. And if they take pitches and look like Yaz is the prime example of a guy who looks like crap because he's guessing. And if they guess wrong, they strike out. And it's like, oh, this guy's hitting like crap. Well, no, the guy's just guessing wrong at this moment. In 2 weeks from now, he's going to hit 3 homers in 4 games. You know,
we haven't even talked about Yaz yet this entire podcast, by the way.
Hour 15. That was funny. The first time he was mentioned. Yeah.
Which is funny because he's been our leadoff hitter like every single game. But we're like, whatever.
We're giving him a pass right now, I think. Yeah, you know?
His approach at the plate has looked really good. He's doing what Yaz does, which is
incredible defense, too.
But his defense has been phenomenal. That diving catch, oh my God. He dove where it was like, yo, if there was a wall there, dude, your career was over.
Yeah, that was the game I was at. And to see that live, I was like, oh, you know, that's going to drop.
That was an incredible.
And just to see him just come and come and come and then just dive, I was like, what the hell? It was just, even the press box, you heard a couple of, oh, like a couple of gasps like from the reporters.
You're not supposed to react in the press box, but how can you not react to that play?
It was shocking. No, he's been good. Look, he's got some holes in his swing right now. And, you know, like you said, he's guessing wrong. So, you know, we're going to wait for him to come around. But, you know, they're only going to wait so long, you know, to perhaps make a move. And I think they have to wait till, you know, Lamont Wade and those guys come back to make those moves. Yeah. But I do think it's going to happen.
I think, though, you know, when Lamont is back, he's the perfect, like, lefty to have in your outfield because plays great defense no matter where you put him. So I think Yaz is around for the long haul.
All right, so Willie, what do you got going on with your new computer? Anything you're going to be streaming soon, or is that happening?
I haven't downloaded OBS, which is the streaming software that you use to stream on Twitch, and I'm kind of thinking maybe I'm just not gonna.
Okay.
I'm just not gonna stream on Twitch, although I would like to at some point. We've talked about this in the past. Do a live broadcast where we watch the game with our community, with our listeners, and the three of us commentate the game. And I know we have the best broadcasting team in baseball. But wouldn't it be fun to listen to me, Chad, and Eric cover the game? You know?
It would be so much fun. We gotta try to set the date aside so I can plan it around the family. What's Dad doing?
He's in there for 3 hours watching the game with his friends, and they're talking about it on the internet, and people are watching, apparently.
Yeah. He does dumb things.
But other than that, no, I mean, I put in my 2 weeks at my my Butorium job. I'm going to go to it's like a soft 2 weeks. I'm going to still work after the 2 weeks is up, but I'm just going to pare down my hours, and I'm going to start packing up this apartment and putting it in boxes and planning my move back to San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, welcome home, buddy. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited. You know, like I said earlier, I'm sad to be leaving the friends that I've made here in Austin, but so excited to be able to try to be at the ballpark as much as I can. And actually, when I get back, what I'm going to put my focus into, because I already talked to my mom and she was like, you can stay here. It's fine. I'm just going to try to find a job in broadcasting, hopefully around the Giants. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be hitting up KNBR, which I used to work there. So I know people still. In fact, there's a bunch of people still.
Yeah, like you knew Finn Tim and all those guys, right?
Yeah, thin Tim. Yeah, yeah. Tim Webb. Every Tim time Webb, at the end of the game, they're like, thanks to our producers, Tim Webb, and blah, blah, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, so I know all those guys still. So I'm going to hit them up, see what's available, what's out there. But also, I mean, I feel like I just want to work for the Giants. You know, like, what do you guys need? What do you guys, is any positions open? I will do anything. I will fucking sweep the goddamn floor. Like, if I could be at the ballpark every day, that would be incredible. So, yeah, that's kind of my plan right now. We're in a transition period, which, you know, these are scary moments in your life, but yeah, also
big change in life.
No kidding, yeah, very much so.
I mean, Eric, you've been going through scary transition moments for like the last like year now. So
yeah, Eric's got perpetual scary moments. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want a bunch of them in a row, right? You want one every few years, right?
Yep. But, Yeah. Spread them out a little bit more, Eric, you know, if you can.
I'm a streaky hitter. I'm either all on or all off.
Oh, man. You're hanging in there. All right. Well, that'll do it for episode 248 of the TorchCast. You can follow us collectively on Twitter at TorchCast. Like us on Facebook, where we stream this every week or so. You can follow us individually at ChadK21 for myself, at 2OutHits for Eric. That's with the number 2, and at WillyDills. For Willie, you can check out everything we post on torturecast.com. Also, you can email us at torturecast@gmail.com. If you got questions, comments, anything you'd like to see, comments about the show, we'd love to hear it. Go ahead and send it our way. So that'll do it. We'll see you next week when the road trip is concluding. Until then, have a fantastic, fantastic week. Go Giants! A-boom!
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TorchCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TorchCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.